supposed, and spoke out vigorously on Dart's behalf, but no effect. For the next 50 years, the received wisdom was that the town child was an ape and nothing more. Most textbooks didn't even mention it. Dart spent 5 years working up a monograph, but could find no one to publish it. Eventually, he gave up the quest to publish altogether, though he did continue hunting for fossils. For years, the skull, today recognized as one of the supreme treasures of anthropology, sat as a paperweight on a colleague's desk. At the time Dart made his announcement in 1924, only four categories of ancient hominid were known: Homo heidelbergensis, Homo rhodesiensis, Neanderthals, and Dubois' Java man. But all that was about to change in a very big way. First, in China, a gifted Canadian amateur named Davidson Black began to poke around at a place, Dragon Bone Hill, that was locally famous as a hunting ground for old bones. Unfortunately, rather than preserving the bones for study, the Chinese ground them up to make medicines. We can only guess how many priceless Homo erectus bones ended up as a sort of Chinese equivalent of bicarbonate of soda. The site had been much denuded by the time Black arrived, but he found a single fossilized molar, and on the basis of that alone, quite brilliantly announced the discovery of Sinanthropus pekinensis, which quickly became known as Peking Man. At Black's urging, more determined excavations were undertaken and many other bones found. Unfortunately, all were lost the day after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, when a contingent of U.S. Marines trying to spirit the bones and themselves out of the country was intercepted by the Japanese and imprisoned. Seeing that their crates held nothing but bones, the Japanese soldiers left them at the roadside. It was the last that was ever seen of them. In the meantime, back on Dubois' old turf of Java, a team led by Ralph von Koenigswald had found another group of early humans, which became known as the Solo people, from the site of their discovery on the Solo River at Nandong. Koenigswald's discoveries might have been more impressive still, but for a tactical error that was realized too late. He had offered locals 10 cents for every piece of hominid bone they could come up with, then discovered to his horror that they had been enthusiastically smashing large pieces into small ones to maximize their income. In the following years, as more bones were found and identified, there came a flood of new names: Homo aragnesensis, Australopithecus transvaalensis, Paranthropus crassidens, Zinjanthropus boisei, and scores of others, nearly all involving a new genus type as well as a new species. By the 1950s, the number of named hominid types had risen to comfortably over 100. To add to the confusion, individual forms often went by a succession of different names, as paleoanthropologists refined, worked, and squabbled over classifications. Solo people were known variously as Homo soloensis, Homo primigenius asiaticus, Homo neanderthalensis soloensis, Homo sapiens soloensis, Homo erectus erectus, and finally plain Homo erectus. In an attempt to introduce some order in 1960, F. Clark Howell of the University of Chicago, following the suggestions of Ernst Mayr and others the previous decade, proposed cutting the number of genera to just 2, Australopithecus and Homo, and rationalizing many of the species. The Java and Peking men both became Homo erectus. For a time, order prevailed in the world of the hominids. It didn't last. Humans are put in the family Hominidae. Its members, traditionally called hominids, include any creatures, including extinct ones, that are more closely related to us than to any surviving chimpanzees. The apes, meanwhile, are lumped together in a family called Pongidae. Many authorities believe that chimps, gorillas, and orangutans should also be included in this family, with humans and chimps in a subfamily called Homininae. The upshot is that the creatures traditionally called hominids become, under this arrangement, hominins. Leakey and others insist on that designation. Hominoidea is the name of the ape superfamily, which includes us. After about a decade of comparative calm, paleoanthropology embarked on another period of swift and prolific discovery, which hasn't abated yet. The 1960s produced Homo habilis, thought by some to be the missing link between apes and humans, but thought by others not to be a separate species at all. Then came, among many others, Homo ergaster, Homo luilici, Homo rudolfensis, Homo microcranus, and Homo antecessor, as well as a raft of australopithecines, A. afarensis, A. pragans, A. ramidus, A. valkyrie, A. anamensis, and still others. Altogether, some 20 types of hominid are recognized in the literature today. Unfortunately, almost no two experts recognize the same 20. Some continue to observe the two hominid genera suggested by Howell in 1960, but others place some of the australopithecines in a separate genus called Paranthropus, and still others at an earlier group called Ardipithecus. Some put pragans into Australopithecus, and some into a new classification, Homo antiquus. But most don't recognize pragans as a separate species at all. There is no central authority that rules on these things. The only way a name becomes accepted is by consensus, and there is often very little of that. A big part of the problem, paradoxically, is a shortage of evidence. Since the dawn of time, several billion human or human-like beings have lived, each contributing a little genetic variability to the total human stock. Out of this vast number, the whole of our understanding of human prehistory is based on the remains, often exceedingly fragmentary, of perhaps 5,000 individuals. You could fit it all into the back of a pickup truck, if you didn't mind how much you jumbled everything up. Ian Tattersall, the bearded and friendly curator of anthropology at the American Museum of Natural History in New York, replied when I asked him the size of the total world archive of hominid and early human bones. The shortage wouldn't be so bad if the bones were distributed evenly through time and space, but of course they're not. They appear randomly, often in the most tantalizing fashion. Homo erectus walked the earth for well over a million years and inhabited territory from the Atlantic edge of Europe to the Pacific side of China. Yet if you brought back to life every Homo erectus individual whose existence we can vouch for, they wouldn't fill a school bus. Homo habilis consists of even less,